Sure been good to be here. Appreciate the song service. What a blessing it is. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 10, please. Luke chapter number 10. It's a very familiar scripture, those that read their Bible. But I feel like this is what the Lord's kind of laid on our heart. And we've never really seen it in this fashion before, per se. We've read this scripture before, I'm sure. And maybe even preached out of it, far as I know. But the Lord's just kind of laid some things on our hearts, so we'll try to give you what the Lord's given us. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. I want to read, start with verse number 25 through verse 29, and then we'll maybe read some more here in a little bit, but I do want to start there and try to give you what the Lord's laid upon our heart, and I pray it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Luke chapter number 10, as we stand, Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25, the Bible said, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, Thou hast answered right, do this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" If you would pray with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow as humbly as we know how, God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, tonight. I pray you'd anoint us, Lord, afresh. I pray, Lord, you'd guide us and direct us as we try to proclaim the word of God. Lord, I pray you'd help us to present the gospel in a way that would be an effect, Lord, to these dear people. And God, I pray you'd anoint us, Lord, and use us tonight for thy honor and thy glory. I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, Lord, I pray you'd save them, God. And God, I pray you'd bring my remembrance, Lord, God, what we studied thus far. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now this, you that read your Bible, you know what happened. This, the Bible tells us, the lawyer stood up tempting the Lord and asked him about eternal life. And he gives him that of those things he said, but he said, "And thy neighbor as thyself." And so he goes on to justify himself, and he said, "Lord," he said, "who is my neighbor?" Man, good question. He asked a very good question. He said, "Lord, who is my neighbor?" And Jesus done a very great thing. He not only answered who his neighbor was, but how to treat your neighbor, amen? And so he gave him a little bit extra than what he asked. He just said, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus says, "If you'll give me a little bit, I'll not only show you who he is, but how to treat him," amen? And he gives us that as we go through. I want to look, the Bible gives us, you know, the parable. He begins to tell the man about this man that goes down to Jericho for Jerusalem. How he was stripped, and the Bible said, you know, the Levite came by and the priest came by. We know what that represents, that of religion and that of the law. But I don't want to look at that. I want to focus. Look at verse number 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was." In other words, he was in the same place the law was. He's in the same place religion was. But the Bible said he came where he was, and when he saw him, I looked up that word neighbor. Now, when we think of neighbor, we think of somebody that lives near our house or our home. And we say, "Well, such and such is our neighbor." And I spoke to a guy the other day that lives on down the road. He said, "Man, we're neighbors." I said, "No, we're not. You don't live beside me. You're two neighborhoods down." And what I was saying was, "Hey, you're not right next to me." But he said, "Man, we're neighbors." I thought, "Really? Didn't know that." But Jesus teaches us a very good lesson. He goes here and he says, not only when you look up the word neighbor, it means near. So can I say, number one, it's somebody that's near you. Amen. Somebody, he teaches us here that he was near his hands and his head and his physical body. And so it's somebody that is near you. Now, that doesn't mean they have to be near you at a certain time of the day. That means in a 24-hour period, everybody I come in contact with that's near me is my neighbor. And so it's not only somebody near my hands, not only somebody near my head, but it's also somebody near my heart. Amen? That means means when somebody is laid on my heart, that is my neighbor. You know, I've had people tell me about somebody that I never even knew, but it didn't take long for me to realize they started becoming my neighbor because I couldn't get them off my heart. They weren't near my hands, they weren't near my head, but they were near my heart, and I prayed for them, and I realized that they were my neighbor. Got a guy sent me a text the other day from Alabama. Now, he's my neighbor. Amen. He is. Now, he's a long ways away, preacher friend of mine. He said, I want you to pray for us. He's my neighbor. Amen. And so it's not only somebody that's near my hands that I can help, but it's somebody near my heart that I can pray for. Not only that, it's also, as we've already said, somebody near my home. Now, that's the least of your concerns, amen. You want to make sure that everybody you come in contact with, Jesus said, hey, they're your neighbor. And I want you to understand that. He goes on and he tells us that somebody that is near me. I was talking to today. I was at the funeral home, and one of the funeral directors said something that kind of stuck out to me today. I was asking him, we had got an urn in, and we had set it up, and he took it in the room, and we set it up all beautiful, and we set it on a beautiful wood tapestry, and he had it all decorated, and he set it to the side. I said, what are you doing? He said, it's all about presentation. I said, what do you mean it's all about presentation? He said, I learned a long time ago. He said, I could just give it to him. I could just walk up and say, here's your daddy. He said, but that's not what it's all about. He said, it's how you present things. He said, let me tell you what my pastor told me years ago. He said, you know, you can take a corn on the cob, and you can take it out there to a hog, and you can lay it at his mouth and let it eat right out of your hands. And he said, if you do that long enough, every time you walk out to the fence, he said, you know that hog will come running because he knows you got something for him. He said, now you take that same corn, and you go out there and beat him over the head with it and tell him to eat. He said, every time you beat him, you ain't going to beat him but a few times. And every time you come out, he's going to run. You got the same food, same everything. It's still as good as it always was. It's how you present it. Amen. And so Jesus tells us and teaches us here how to present ourselves towards our neighbor. And so not is it somebody only near our heart, near our hands, near our head, but also near our home. But it's not just about near. I thought about, Lord, what does that word neighbor mean? No doubt it's somebody near us, but it's somebody who needs us. Amen. It ain't just somebody who's near you, but it's somebody who needs you. Amen. By the way, your neighbor needs you whether you know it or not. And your neighbor needs you whether they know it or not. They need us, and we need them. And so it's somebody that is in need of us. Notice this, he said that the Bible said he had compassion on him. When he seen his need, he had compassion on him. Amen. It wasn't the fact that he was close to him per se as much as it was as he seen his need. Now wait a minute. The Bible said there was two other men walked by and seen the same need, but kept going. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach this man, because what he was trying to do is say, hey, I want to know, what do I need to inherit eternal life? And he thought he had it all down pat till he started telling him who his neighbor was. He thought he had it all. He said, I got it all figured out. I'm doing pretty good as a Christian. And then Jesus said, well, let me tell you who your neighbor is. You want to know who your neighbor is, I'm fixing to tell you. And then let's see how you pan out then. Where do you come on the list now as a Christian? What are we doing for our neighbor? Notice this. He says, he had compassion on him. And I love this. And went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Now, we know what that represents, but I'm not even going to address that fact. Here's what I do want to say that I've never noticed before. Why'd the man have oil and wine on him? Anybody thought about that? He's going on a journey, but he was prepared to help somebody. He didn't leave unprepared. How many of us carry those kind of things? I thought the religious man didn't have it. Amen. The law didn't have it. But the Samaritan came prepared to give it. Amen. Nobody else had anything. I thought about, now I don't want to be mean about this, but here, we go to work and half of us don't even have jumper cables to help anybody. It's going, I know what I mean. You say, well, that's silly. No, let me tell you something. This man came prepared to help. He left his house prepared to help people. Now, what are you saying, Troy? Spiritually, you need to be prepared to help your neighbor. If you get to a point where you can't help your neighbor spiritually, you need to get help yourself. Amen. I need to be in a position where when I come in contact with anybody that I can win them to Christ if I need to. I need to be able to lead anybody anywhere to Christ and at least know how to do it. And so notice this. He said, the Bible said, could you imagine going on a journey by foot and you got oil in one hand? And could you imagine having wine in the other hand just walking down the road? He's walking. Ain't nobody else got oil and wine. You know why? Nobody else was prepared to help anybody. Could you imagine him saying, hey, buddy, where are you going without oil and wine? Well, somebody may need it. Somebody may need it. I don't know. Well, you don't need it, do you? No, I don't need it. But somebody's going to need it. Amen. And that's what we need to think about. It's not about what I need today, but what does my neighbor need today? I need to be ready to help him. And so he left out with oil and wine. He didn't need it, but somebody did. Amen. Sometimes we think, well, I ain't going to read tonight. I don't need to study tonight. I don't need to. Hey, you may not need it as much as your neighbor may need it tomorrow. I'll never forget, I went in a house years ago when I worked for Meals and Wheels, and the Lord began to lay on my heart about Isaiah 40:22. I thought, Lord, that's a strange scripture to give me. The Bible says this, he said, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. And I kept thinking about that scripture, and I thought, man, that is a, why in the world is God giving me this scripture? I walked in the first house that day, and I delivered her meal. You know what she did? She handed me a watchtower. She said, I want to talk to you about the Lord. I said, good, I want to talk to you about him too. Makes two of us. Amen. She wasn't expecting that. And my mind began to go to Isaiah. You know what the first thing she said was? She told me, you know that Satan has got control of this world. Satan is, he's got, this is his. I said, really? I said, you let me tell you what Isaiah 40:22 says. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers. I said, if he's sitting on it, sounds like to me he's got control of it. Amen. And I said, Lord, I never knew why in the world God was giving me that scripture. I thought, what a strange scripture for this morning. But God knew somebody was going to need it. I was going to run into a neighbor. And I was going to need to give them something. Amen. And so don't ever leave your house unprepared to help your neighbor. If God lays on your heart a scripture, he begins to give you something. Maybe you read a daily devotion and think, well, that one ain't for me this morning. God missed that one. That's what some of us think. Well, I don't understand about that. That ain't going to help me one bit. It ain't about helping you. Amen. It may be about helping somebody else this morning. And so notice this. The Bible said he left out of there with oil and wine. Notice what else he said. The Bible says he brought him to an end. He didn't leave him there. Amen. I like what a man used to say. He said, religion will leave you like it found you. Amen. And I thought, yeah, that's pretty right. Amen. It'll leave you exactly like it found you. But Jesus in a relationship with Christ will not do that. And notice this. He said he brought him and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence. You know, sometimes it's going to cost you something to help somebody, man. It's going to cost you something. You'll say, well, it's just inconvenient for me. And I've seen times where I went down the road, and you know, the other day I passed somebody walking, and it was my actual neighbor. And I was in a hurry. God spoke to my heart and said, turn around. I said, God, I'm in a hurry. He said, you may be in more hurry than you think you are. Turn around. I turned around, went back. I said, you need a ride? He said, yeah. I said, get in. Took him to his vehicle. Ended up being late to where I was supposed to go to. But guess what? Wasn't about me. God said, hey, your neighbor's walking down the road. How about you pick him up? You know, I've had several walk down our Graham Road many a times that I've had to turn around and God say, pick them up. And I said, well, Lord, you don't understand. I don't know them. He said, you're near them, ain't you? You just passed them. You was near them. Therefore, they're your neighbor. And I've had to turn around and go back. One told me, said, well, I'm just working up here at the Wendy's, and, you know, I really appreciate this. And I got witness to him all the way on. I said, look, what time you usually go to work? He said, why? I said, I'm going to pick you up tomorrow. I didn't even know what I was doing the next day. I was willing to pick him up. I was just excited I got to help him. I said, what time are you coming in tomorrow? He said, well, I'm coming in tomorrow about 5. I said, I'll meet you on the road same time, same place. Just get to here and we'll go again. What are you saying? I'm saying the Bible teaches us not only who is our neighbor, but how to be a good neighbor. And by the way, if you're ever a good neighbor, did you know there's a good possibility that they'll visit your church? Do you know that? You know what one man told me about his church, how he was able to build his church to such a big extent? I said, how did you do it? He said, the first thing we do, he was a missionary and he traveled. He went to Italy, he went to different places. I said, well, what do you do? How do you build these churches? He said, well, the first thing we do is we go in the community and we go door to door and ask people, what do they need in the community? What do y'all need? What can we do for y'all in the community? And then we said, we start doing that. And he said, from that and that alone, we build our churches. That's it. He said, we just go find out what the need is. And we meet those needs. And when we meet those needs, they start coming to our church. Go figure that. And so Jesus is teaching this for a reason. If I'm a neighbor and if I take care of, how many do you think, if I were to guess, if I were a bet, man, I know this is a parable, but say it was real life, everything was the same. How much you want to bet that this man went back to try to find that dude? How many you think he probably said, hey, somebody help me, can you tell me who he was? I want to find out who that man is. Do you know I've had people that's told me, my mother one time witnessed to a lady in Eggleston Hospital years and years and years ago. And she told her about the Lord and began to witness to her. You know, it was about 15 years later, Mama was at a store somewhere and a woman come running up to her crying, hugging her neck. Mom said, I didn't know that lady from Adam. Said, I thought, what in the world is going on? She's crying, hugging, said, you're Tracy Hall. She said, yeah, who are you? And they're hugging. She's squalling. She said, you may not remember me, but you talked to me one night at Eggleston, and you witnessed to me about God. She said, just a few weeks later, God saved me, and I've been looking for you for 15 years just to tell you that God saved me. What I'm saying is, you be a neighbor. You love people, and it'll change people's lives. Amen. What are you saying? You'll never know. I remember Brother High. I believe it was Brother Jack Hiles won a man at a prison just through the bars, and it was years later he met him on the street and said, you know me, Brother High, big old black man. He said, I don't know you. He said, you may not remember me, but I remember you. He said, you preached to me across the bars of a prison. He said, I got saved. And he said, now I'm a pastor in a church somewhere. And he said, God is using me. What are you saying? If you'll be a neighbor to somebody, you may not tell what God would do in your life. Just be a neighbor. God says, here's how you be a neighbor. Noah says, I'll come to close. He goes on and he tells us how that he began to take care of him and paid for him and began to mold him. And the Lord says here, Noah says, he says in the last verse, verse number 36, which now of these three thinkest thou whose neighbor unto whom that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that shewed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do thou likewise. You know what that sounds like to me? He wasn't doing it. He said, go and do thou likewise. In other words, Jesus said, now I've taught you who your neighbor is. Now I've taught you how to treat your neighbor. Now you apply that and go do it. Amen. That's what he said. And that's what we're supposed to do with any message, anything that God reveals to us. We're to apply it and use it. And so I wonder tonight, who is your neighbor? Is there somebody you could be talking to? Is there somebody you come in contact this week that God has laid on your heart? Is there somebody, I'll never forget, I was listening to a message the other day friend of mine, we was together. He said, "Have you ever heard this message?" I heard it before, but I didn't say nothing because I like hearing it. Amen. He popped it in. He said, "It started out from a pistol through the pulpit." And I'll never forget, and I said, "That's his testimony." And he said, "Yeah." And he told about how that his Aunt Florine and his uncle used to come in and visit them, and they was in Chicago, and he lived, it was a junkie on the street. And he said, "I'll never forget," he said, "Mom and Daddy told me religion would drive you crazy." She said he had an aunt that read the Bible, and she went in the loony bin. Said, "So I just never stayed around that stuff." Said, "Every time they come in, I went out the back door, and they tried to witness to my parents." She said, "But one night, things went bad, a drug deal went bad. I got laid on the tracks, literally stripped, beat by half to death, and they brought me in to my mama and daddy's house, wrapped in a white blanket, bloody. Every bone in my body was dislocated. And as they brought me in," he said, "you know, out of all the people that could have been in my house that day, guess who was there? Aunt Florine and Uncle Hardy, trying to win my mom and daddy to Christ." He said, "I never knew this, but Aunt Florine told me when I seen your bloody body brought in that sheep," she said, "God put a burden for me and Uncle Hardy," and said, "there wasn't a day that went by every morning we cooked the chairs out from under the table. We got under the table and we prayed, 'God, please remember this brother. Please, God, save this boy.'" And said, "We done it for 2 years. We got on our knees and said, 'God, save him.'" You know, right now he's one of the best preachers probably that I've ever heard, bar none. One of the best. Why? Because somebody decided to be a neighbor. They got under conviction and they begin to see, and I wonder, are we being a real neighbor to those around us? Being a neighbor is going to cost you something. Being a neighbor is such a great blessing, though. When you help others, I'll never forget a show, and as they come and bring a verse of song, I'll never forget, I don't know if y'all ever seen this show. I don't get to watch many shows. I ain't got time for all that. But I'll see one every once in a while. And so I seen one, and it was about these millionaires giving away their money. And there for a while, you ought to have seen them as they walked in the first time. Their prestige, they're all tied up, and they're, you know, talking about the show. Time the show's over, there are tears in their eyes, and they're bawling. One guy said, "This is the best feeling I've ever had." He said, "I've been a millionaire. I've made millions of dollars." He said, "But I've never felt it like this, giving it away." I never forget, he cried and tears rolled down his face as he gave literally his money to other people. I thought, well, that's a biblical principle. No wonder God blessed him. And so you'll say, "Well, wait a minute, you don't know if he's saved or not." You know the principles, they work either way. People think it just works for saved people. God said if you do it, he'll bless you, period. End of story. And so I wonder tonight, are we going to be a neighbor as they bring a verse of song? Have you been a neighbor this week? Can you honestly say you've been a neighbor to everybody you've come in contact with?